Awesome job. Absolutely. And I'll let you in on a little secret. We had so much fun doing that, we may do it for Christmas. Sound good? Sound good? Yeah? Yeah, and not only that, but you can join. You can join this time around, right? Because let me tell you what a joy it was to come back Sunday afternoons and just sit with these people and learn how to sing. I'm at the back. I just let them do it. I just open my mouth, and you know. So it was just such a blessing to be part of that. So really thankful that you're here. Well, he is risen. What a glorious day to be here. I thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of the service. This is the day on the Christian calendar where it all becomes real. It all becomes real. Now, it wasn't always real for me. I grew up with a nagging question. Like, I don't know if you remember your childhood growing up or your teen years, but I had this nagging question when I was growing up. And it was like, you know, I don't know what possessed me at such a young age to start asking this question, because when everybody else seemed to be, you know, playing and doing this stuff, I was going in philosophy mode, you know? And you know when you get to a certain age, you know, you look at your younger years and you kind of go, oh, that's why I was picked on? You know, because I was, I admit, I was a bit of a strange kid, because it was a bit of a philosophy kind of mindset. And you know, I'm seeing that in my 10-year-old grandson. He's a bit of a philosopher, too. So I'm going, okay, you know, you got this honestly. You absolutely got this honestly. But when I was younger, I had this question that was, you know, rotating in my head in all kinds of situations. And the question was this: is this life all there is? Now, for a young child growing up into my teen years, oh my. Kids can go to Kids Connection. Okay, so throw me off my routine once and I blew it. Yeah. See how fast they ran out? Should I be worried? Awesome. But this was the question for me. Is this life all there is? There was a part of me growing up thinking, you know, okay, you kind of strive to build a life. You kind of strive to, you know, build a career, all this kind of stuff. And then at the end of it, is that all there is? Like, and for me as a kid, it was like, well, what a fantastic waste of time. Like, no offense, but what a fantastic waste of time. But this life is all there is. And you work hard and you achieve all this stuff, and you know, and the very best that you can do is just pass it on. And you know, I want to be clear about another thing. It wasn't like I looked at life and said, well, what's the use? It wasn't like, you know, I'm just going to lie back and just enjoy what I can, and whatever is good and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't defeatist or, you know, any of that kind of stuff when it came to life. I did realize that I should live life to the fullest, because if this is all there is, why not live life to the fullest? Okay? And that's kind of like the way I took it. But always in the back of my mind, there was this nagging feeling that there's got to be more to life. It can't be just what you touch, taste, you know, smell, see. It has to be much more. Because what a fantastic waste of time. And I think part of the reason that question, you know, was percolating in my mind at such a young age is that You know, I love to look at the stars. I remember as a kid, I would lay out in the backyard and I would or the back balcony, and I would just look up at the sky. And you know, I was a geeky kid. I used to get flyers in the mail from NASA in those days. Okay. You know, and I still have the booklets. They got to be worth something. Full color booklets from NASA about every Apollo mission, right? So that's how much of a geek I was, because there was just always more to life than what, you know, was there. And I'd look up at the stars, and I'd look up, and even now I'm reading about all kinds of things about the universe and the things that they're finding. I'm going, man, what a fantastic waste of space if this is all there is, you know? I have this dreadful fear of heights, okay? Like even this platform kind of freaks me out, okay? I'm not very good at heights. But if you told me you can get on a spaceship tomorrow and we'll fly you to the moon, I'm the first guy there, okay? Unreasonable, right? Doesn't make sense. But there's just a part of me that always wondered if there was more. And over time, I came to start investigating different faith streams and different, you know, worldviews and philosophies and all that kind of stuff. And there was so much that was telling me that there was more. And then I remember coming across the Bible. And there was particular passages that just answered that question to me so clearly and said there is much more to life than this. I want to read to you 1 Peter 3:18. Now, Peter is writing to all the believers who are kind of spread across Asia Minor at the time. And he's telling them that, hey, listen, you know, you're being persecuted. You've come to faith. The world isn't what you think it is. And you are not really residents of this world. And I thought that was a really interesting kind of perspective, that you're actually foreigners in this world, that your home is somewhere else. You don't really belong here. And as he's writing, I come across verse 3:18, and it says this. It says that Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. Now, I don't know about you, but that terminology just really said a lot. That no matter what this life brings, the difficulties, the traumas, the tragedies, the conflicts, all of that kind of stuff, that what Jesus accomplished is something that would bring us safely home to God. I remember when my mother was passing away in September and sitting by her bedside and watching her take her last breaths. And I remember talking to her and I said, are you ready? Are you ready to see Jesus? Are you ready to see Dad? You know, other members of her family and things like that. Because I knew that passages like this spoke to something greater than what we experience in this life. And I remember her last breath and whispering to her and saying, what are you seeing? What are you experiencing? What's going on? We know we'll all be in that place at some point. And here's the, you know, here's Peter saying this. And then Peter says he suffered physical death. And the thing is why did Christ suffer? Okay, for whatever you want to believe, the reason why Christ suffered is to bring us to God, to bring us safely home to God. Christ willingly sacrificed himself because he loves you as a person, but knows that your basic demeanor is separated from God and wanted to heal that separation and wanted to bring you safely home to God, and knew that we couldn't do it on our own, but we needed a perfect sacrifice like Jesus to come and accomplish that on our behalf. I said on Good Friday that I like this rabbinical blessing that said that Jesus was pressed so we could be blessed. That his suffering, as we looked back on Good Friday and recognized his willingness to put himself on a cross, was this ultimate expression of love. And, you know, we can all have all these categories about what love looks like. But I don't know about you. That's a pretty powerful picture of love that is hard to put other things in comparison to that. But, you know, that's not the entire verse, by the way. I left out a phrase. Here's the last part of it. But he was raised to life in the Spirit. That last statement, you know, there's been all kinds of speculation as to what is really going on there. Some versions say it's not in the Spirit, but by the Spirit. And that's, you know, whether you want to, you know, argue the Greek. And, well, that's natural. If you are Greek, you're just naturally argumentative. So I can't really say that, okay? But it's a terminology that reminds us that Jesus was made alive in the spiritual realm, in the realm of the Spirit's activity, that Jesus was willing to suffer physically for the sake of eternal spiritual gain. Now, this isn't to say that when Jesus was resurrected, that he was resurrected in spirit form only. I'm not saying that at all. We know that he was raised physically, and that, you know, we even have a passage in the Gospel of John where Doubting Thomas, one of the disciples, the doubter himself, says, I ain't going to believe this. I know you guys are telling me that he was raised and you've seen him and all this, but I'm not going to believe it unless I get to touch him. I get to put my finger in the spear wound in his side and the piercings in his hand and all this kind of stuff. That's the only time I'll believe it. And we have this beautiful picture near the end of John's gospel where Thomas sees Jesus and he's so overwhelmed by the sight. He doesn't even have to touch him. It's so real. It's so palpable in the room that he just stops and he says this amazing statement. And it's amazing in the Greek because it's very, very profound. He says, my Lord and my God. O Kyrios mou ke o Theos mou in Greek. Kyrios can be Lord. And it could see, oh, you know, that's my boss at work. You can't kind of get away with that. But it means an authority over you. But the fact that he uses the terminology of Theos is my God. And that's this confession at the end of the Gospel of John. As Jesus is alive in front of him, resurrected, that says, you know what? All the doubts that I've had growing up now become reality because it's sitting right in front of me. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. You see, the spiritual realm is the realm of all that is lasting, all that is permanent, and all that is eternal. And you know, Paul in Corinthians talks about this corruptible body becoming incorruptible. There's just something beautiful about what we're going to experience in heaven, just what we're going to experience in the next reality that is so real today. And you know what? I have never in my adult years have to ask the question, is this life all there is? Because time and time again, the resurrection of Jesus tells us that we have a hope beyond this physical existence. Because after day three, nothing in this world was ever the same. The stones rolled away, the grave is empty, Christ had risen, and everything changed. In Christ's humanity, we kind of have this perfect example. In Christ's divinity, we have the perfect Savior, one who is capable of taking our place and becoming the sacrifice for our sin. As I said, I don't ask that question anymore. Because for each and every one of us here who place faith in Christ, there is a hope beyond this life. And the resurrection is such a powerful truth to what we can expect and know when that time comes for us. How could I ever walk away from a Lord that has made me a new creation? How can I ever walk away from a Lord that has sacrificed himself so I could be born again? How could I walk away from a Lord that has promised to be by his Spirit in my life each and every day and to empower me to become a better human being and to be a person who emulates Jesus Christ in this earth? And how could I walk away from a Lord that has promised me that this life is not all there is? Are you with me?
Amen.
Amen. Listen, I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but the resurrection makes all the difference in the world. Resurrection makes all the difference in the world. Let me pray as we invite the worship team to come and to lead us in another song as we close out this Easter service. I want to pray for you this morning. Maybe you've never entertained a walk with Christ. You know, here at Village Green, we talk about exploring life, that we're a church where we invite you to explore life. But when we talk about exploring life, we talk about exploring life through the way of Jesus, that Jesus gave us a better way, a better life, a better hope, but an eternal hope, one that can never be taken away because it's based on the promises of God and on the person of Jesus Christ who paid it all for you. Am I oh so glad he walked out of that tomb 3 days later and stood victorious over death and sin. And what he has done is something that you can know for all eternity. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the promised hope that we have in the resurrection. And for many of us, over the years, we've asked profound questions and we've wondered about life. If there's anything that Christianity promotes, it's life, not death. That it's a hope, an eternal hope. It's not a hope that's based on a short period of time or a wishful expectation. It is based on the promise of God, the life of Jesus, and the empowerment of the Spirit. We thank you that as a church we have gathered together today, that we have been able to lift up our hearts and our voices to you in gratitude for all that you've accomplished on our behalf. Lord, no greater love can there be than for one to lay down their life for another. And yet, Lord, you did it for each and every one of us so that we can know the hope of rising to glory someday because of your resurrection. So, Lord, we commit this service to you with hearts of gratitude for all you've accomplished. And we pray that someone here today would leave changed because they have been part of this service and has heard the news of what Jesus can do for them. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.